good night in history that we may save the future. It's about understanding control, that we may act with free will. It's about truth, known and unknown. It's about reality, seen and unseen. It's about time to take a closer look. Your host is Michael Gordon.
My guest, Bill Kennedy, Bill, William Kennedy. As you well know, Bill has been a frequent guest on the program. He's the author of several books, including Satanic Crime in the 21st Century. Bill, good evening. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks for having me on, Michael. A Closer Look is my favorite show.
Well, thanks, Bill. And we really enjoy having you around and the research that you've done. Let me do this, if I may. I got a two-minute clip of the arrest as it went down. It's clear that this young man, Andrew Meyer, was asking John Kerry about Skull and Bones.
Right.
And I mentioned this before you and I had started talking in email about the fact that it was kind of odd. There was this guy off to the right, looked like he was wearing a suit and tie. The cops were standing right next to him, and as soon as the guy embarked on the question about Skull and Bones, this guy kind of got nervous. He acted like he was nervous. And then he made this gesture, the slashing throat, as you call it,
right.
The slashing throat gesture, at which point the cops grabbed this kid and clearly had no reason to taser him. They had him, six big, burly cops, had this one student, 21-year-old Andrew, down on the ground, and then they tasered him.
Right, so, after he begged him not to taser him.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is, just before we get into this, let me just play this real quick.
Very good, okay. Michael.
Okay, here we go. Absolutely stunned. This man obviously did not do anything to warrant this kind of behavior. When I heard the gun, the taser gun, go off, it sounded like it continued delivering voltage to his body. And not one person in that room went to his aid. I'm very, very disappointed. I just really am. I just can't believe how the American people becomes like, they're like sheep.
Sheeple,
yes, indeed. I almost can't bear to listen to that. It's just that disturbing to me. Go ahead.
Well, Michael, everything you said is certainly true, and I'll just give you a quick breakdown of what I saw. And you're going to hear a lot of different interpretations of this film in
sure.
this torture session, but this is my take on it.
Uh-huh.
This is what I saw. Now, Andrew, the student, mentioned the 2004 election,
uh-huh.
and then he talked about impeaching Bush, and he talked about Clinton and Lewinsky's sex act.
Right.
Now, no one really touched him or did anything when he used that vulgar term.
No.
They didn't do anything. And he asked permission and was given permission for 2 minutes to speak.
Right.
Now, when he went in the split second after he mentioned the Skull and Bone Society,
uh-huh.
the man in the gray tie who you mentioned earlier, that's what I call him, the man in the gray tie,
uh-huh.
acted very nervous and he turned around and he gestured with a secret society signal, which looks like a mock thrashing of the throat or cutting of the throat.
Okay.
And it is in Freemasonry, it's called the penal sign of the entered apprentice.
Uh-huh.
In Satanism, it has a similar name. And it's a very common secret society thing. Now, that man in the gray tie, he did this just a nanosecond after the Skull and Bones were mentioned.
Sure.
And from there on, what you hear is Kerry gave a very sinister giggle. Did you notice that giggle he gave?
I did, yes.
It's a very bizarre, sinister giggle. Now, as they were dragging Andrew away, Kerry, in another film clip, if you notice, it looks like he's scratching the back of his head.
Right.
That's called the hook. That's a signal they give the security guards to get someone out of the building.
Uh-huh.
That's a very I learned that at Dale Carnegie when I was 16 years old.
Okay.
Okay, that cue. So that's what Kerry was doing. So basically what I see is the man in the gray tie and Kerry basically ordered that Andrew be tortured.
Well, they did a darn good job of it.
He did a very good job of it, and now they're becoming so brazen, Michael, they'll film it and show it on TV. And this answers the question to a lot of people. You know, I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm a registered Democrat, and people have asked me why I haven't confronted John Kerry at some public event here. Well,
right.
That's my answer. I knew darn well that he could get people to, you know, beat the pants off me, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I would never do that because I'm here and I'm aware of what these people are like. Now they've just become so brazen, they're just doing it publicly. Now, another thing you'll notice, Kerry started to answer the question about the 2004 election and never
right.
addressed the Skull and Bones question.
No.
So this is very multi-layered.
Of course it is. And you know, the thing is that I'm at a loss for words as to how approximately 300 people sitting in a room like that, eyewitnesses, they're on the scene, seeing everything as it goes down, not one person attempted to go to this young man's aid.
It really doesn't surprise me, Michael, and I was talking to Professor Noor Yalman, who's an anthropologist at Harvard University, just last year, and we were talking together how, you know, the big thing he doesn't like being at Harvard is that Alan Dershowitz, the law professor, has been priming people to accept torture for several years now,
right.
Justifying it. So this comes as no surprise because they're already priming us. You know, they started with the Guantanamo Bay prison, showing us films of that. Now they're just openly torturing people on television to scare us,
mm-hmm.
and they do a good job at it.
Yeah, I have to admit that just the audio track of that video is very disturbing.
And I tell you, Michael, I'm trained to look at these things, and what I saw the man in the gray tie do, and I don't know who he is or what his job is, he did give the penal sign of the entered apprentice, which is a torture symbol in these societies, and John Kerry gave the old hook, which is a common signal to get someone out. So they basically, through hand signals, ordered this man's torture. It's quite obvious.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know how they will address this. They'll probably going to say, well, no, he was saying to cut off the microphone, but at that juncture, Andrew had already been dragged away from the microphone.
Well, sure. I mean, when that man in the gray tie made that gesture, that's when the cops moved in on him.
I mean, spontaneously, you have to watch it 2 or 3 times to really catch what I'm saying. It's one thing you got to go back and keep looking at. And people can look at it at my webpage, williamhkennedy.com, on the Satanic Crime Multimedia page. And they can see the film I'm talking about with the man in the gray tie, which was not released by the general news media. They showed another camera that took this.
Well, wasn't the a lot of that film footage, I saw that there was news media cameras there. But it wasn't the footage that made it to like YouTube and places like that. Wasn't that somebody's own camera? I think it was shot by students that has.
Yes, it was students, and you even in there's two or three films that were taken of this that I've reviewed so far.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who took the one I'm talking about, but it looks like an amateur student filmed someone holding a camcorder. And
okay.
This is where you see the man in the gray tie. What they've released on, like, CNN is another angle from the back of the auditorium, kind of, and you really don't see the man in the gray tie at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so they didn't really show this on the mainstream media, the signal I'm talking about.
Okay, so now what do we do with this? I mean, I think I tend to lean toward your viewpoint because of the fact of what I've seen. So where do we go with this? In other words, what should we put into this?
Okay, number one, Andrew Mayer needs the best legal defense he can get because they're about to charge him with resisting arrest, which any reasonable person can see. He asked for 2 minutes. He was granted the permission by Kerry himself. He mentioned the skull and bones. The throat-splitting symbol was given, and he was dragged away and tortured. So this man has been abused by the system. He, you know, from what I understand, he's a very good student. And a nice fellow and very respected.
Uh-huh.
And he asked permission. He gave how much time he was going to be there. So he was abused. He kept screaming, "I didn't do anything," because he didn't do anything. He's completely innocent.
I didn't see him do anything that warranted that kind of torture. Now, let me ask you this, Bill. We're dealing with a situation. We know that John Kerry was in Skull and Bones, and he was in the same, wasn't he in the same class with George W. Bush?
No, he was a couple years ahead of Bush.
Okay, but we do know for a fact that he was in Skull and Bones.
Right, yes.
And we know for a fact that George W. Bush is in Skull.
Yes, he was, yes.
And we also know for a fact that these secret societies, these fraternity members or whatever they call themselves, they swear an oath above God and family and country to defend and protect their brothers in the lodge. Is that true?
Yes, that is. It's a blood oath they take to the death. They do a mock human sacrifice, then kneel before a devil figure.
Uh-huh.
And in their courtyard, this is a fraternity at Yale University, they even have a divination device that someone got a film of, which looks like kind of the Wheel of Fortune on a tarot card.
Yeah.
And there's been some speculation, and this is conjecture, I want to make this clear, that when it came to Bush and Kerry, two Skull and Bonesmen, they let the wheel decide. So when they were both running for president, they decided this through a random turning of this wheel they have. I heard this from a fellow who is a Skull and Bonesman, but I only heard it from one person. So I, you know, people should take it with a grain of salt, certainly. But I thought I just should report that because I did hear it from a verified Skull and Bones member who I prefer not to mention.
I see a lot of this stuff on the internet. Bush making these devil horn signs and
right.
You know, you see all these guys doing this. And what are they doing when they do something like that?
Okay, number one, you have to remember, Michael, that all these people have cover stories. What they are doing is they are giving the devil sign. Now they will have another reason, like they'll say it's for a football team, the Longhorns, or there's always multiple meanings to any occult or satanic symbols. If you ask a Freemason what a pentagram means, he'll tell you it means health. Okay, but it also is a diabolical thing. So they'll always have a cover story. So it really doesn't matter what they say. What they are doing in reality is they are flashing their occult power to other occultists and letting other elitists know that they are in charge and part of this international cabal of Satanists.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are supreme.
Okay, so it's kind of like flagrantly... waving it in our face. You know, here's the thing, Bill. I think that it becomes more apparent, at least to me it does, in the research that I do. And, you know, the blatant abuse of constitutional of power, if you will, the power elite, with the North American Union and this kind of thing, it becomes obvious to me that all of these events are all stage managed. They're not legitimate events. The cards, if you will, are already on the table. The fate of the country has already been determined, and it seems like all of us, the American citizen, the taxpayer, has been locked out of the good old boy network that is bringing us to this loss of our constitutional republic. What do we do? What do we do with this?
Okay, number one, we have to make people aware of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, these people are getting so brazen. Like, Terry, they're torturing people on the 6 o'clock news now.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't hesitate to do it. So we're really entering a rough phase, and they're just seeing how they've dumbed and numbed people down to see how people react to this. And people aren't reacting out against it at all. It's frightening.
I know. This is what stuns me about that room where this event took place. Not one person. You know, I'll tell you, I had a caller call yesterday. I am not advocating violent revolution, okay, because we know darn good and well that that's probably what they want us to do. We have got to continue doing our thing peacefully and through channels. However, when you're in a room and there is obviously an abuse taking place, you know, as 300 people are sitting there, know what this guy did or didn't do. They see this thing go down, and they sit there like deer standing in the highway waiting for a semi to hit them, and they're not doing anything. They're just watching this event, and it's just pathetic.
Oh, it's unbelievable, Michael. It's kind of a mass hypnosis. And remember, two people I know, master hypnotists, Brad Steiger and Patrick Brady, both who are in the Hypnosis Hall of Fame, what they both revealed to me is a big secret. It's actually easier to hypnotize a group of people than it is to hypnotize an individual,
uh-huh.
because individuals are quite resistant to the hypnotist.
Uh-huh.
But if you put their two best friends next to them and they all agree to do it, that resistance dissolves. And what the government does is they play off this. They hypnotize us and numb us down to violence and Satanism, and then they throw it overtly in our faces to see how well their techniques have worked.
Right.
And in this situation, it has worked to the point where the second they don't want this Skull and Bones, this satanic fraternity discussed, a secret society signal is flashed, and a person is dragged away and tortured on camera with all the sheeple standing there. And there were a few people screaming Rodney King, police brutality, and God bless them. God bless them. Maybe they weren't close enough to do anything. So some people did speak up, at least. So let's give them the credit that's due to them. But the rest of those people, like you say, they stood there like hypnotized deer staring at a headlight, as you put it.
Yeah, I saw a couple of people sitting right there on the aisle where this was going on, and they didn't even flinch. They're just like sitting there with their mouths open, their eyes wide open, and they're just sitting there. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Quite stunning, because I remember like when I was a kid, if there was something with the police, people would sometimes intervene and say, you know, maybe this guy's had too much to drink, maybe we could get him. People don't even do that now.
No. Well, the police have been elevated, thanks to the fear tactics. Police have been elevated to the status of gods. And if you dare to interfere in something of that nature, you could get shot dead right there on the spot.
Or thrown in prison for nothing, like they're going to do to poor Andrew.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. We've got a few minutes left before we have to break away from this. But this, obviously, is indicative of the locus of power that is taking and running the global village. What is it going to be like? At least have you speculated what it's going to be like if they're successful in getting this thing?
Okay, the global village will become the global pillage. What they're practicing in the Middle East, Iraq, in Iran next, they will bring here. There will be military law. I've talked to people who do business in Iraq. They say it's like the Wild West. It's armed gangs, and there's hits and everything, and that's what they'll turn the American streets into. The global village will become the global pillage.
That's kind of pathetic, I think.
It's horrible.
Yeah. it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Give out information again, your website and all of that. What's going on with you and where are you at and some of your projects?
Very quickly. It's